hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be a informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be home.
Good evening, listener. We thank God for another Saturday. It's always a privilege to come your way, and indeed, Saturdays are one of my favorite days. And for just for the purpose of this program, and tonight is something starting new discussion topic. Let me put it that way, and it's based on some events that happened in the course of the week. And you know, last night, I mean, the Holy Spirit leading me towards this line, and I believe for the next few weeks we are going to delve into this very, very, very important issue. And you know, it's something which we should have been doing it all the time as believers, but it's not something that we are too keen about. We start and we stop. We are not too consistent with it, but the times we are in really, really, it warrants that we make it something, take it at a serious level and keep on being consistent with it. But first, we'll be looking into the news and some things happening in the news, and then we'll get into the main discussion aspect of it. So thank you for tuning in to Spirit 88.3 FM. For those online, greetings, various parts of the country and outside. This is in, and I believe from now to 9 p.m. we'll be able to cover significant number of things I intend to address. All right, so first, this one, disease X, like disease, sickness, disease X, X for xylophone. World Economic Forum creating contingency plan for infectious virus outbreak. You know, these globalists and liberals, sometimes you just get amazed by some of the things they do. You know, if for those who remember or may be aware of, you know, before COVID came, you know, COVID came 31st, officially 31st December 2019, and then 2020, we rolled out COVID fully and all. But then September 2019, they had event 201, I believe that's the name, yeah. And it's similar to, like, you know, simulation of COVID and all. That was before officially we all knew about COVID, though. September 2019, they did the simulation of it, discussed the situation, how, when it happens, something like that happens, how it can affect the world, blah, blah, blah. And 3 months down the line, we all know, I mean, it's all history. We know what happened to the world. You see, so whenever they start talking about it, you just know that these people, before they say it, they've already done the testing. Because interestingly, there's been snippets of news of some wild viruses being seen and in the labs, and you know, it's just amazing how they just don't get tired of their evil deeds. So this one says, World Economic Forum, and they are doing their annual Davos conference in Switzerland, where the power players meet to discuss and set the tone for the world, how the world should go. And see, most of these people are non-elected people. I mean, they are not voted, they are not president, but more business leaders and, you know, opinion leaders in various fields. So they gather and then they invite some of the politicians of big, big countries, and they just set their agenda for the world, how they think the world should go, and I mean, how things should be done and all that. So they discuss this. So the attendees say they will discuss the, okay, they've discussed it already, but when I copy this news, I mean, they will discuss the hypothetical virus in order to prepare properly for it. I mean, just imagine, the thing hasn't come. And what, why would you even imagine and assume a certain wild virus is coming? If you are not the one even trying to bring it. Attendees at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, will discuss the prospect of a virus far more potent than COVID being unleashed across the world. The hypothetical virus dubbed by the World Health Organization, WHO, as Disease X has not yet been formed by scientists, and attendees at the global conference say they will be chatting about the potential pathogen so that they can prepare properly should it ever strike. Okay. And then it says that with fresh warnings from the World Health Organization that an unknown disease X could result in 20 times more fatalities than the coronavirus pandemic, what novel efforts are needed to prepare healthcare systems for the multiple challenges ahead? A page detailing the meeting states at the on the World Economic Forum website. Interesting, last year in the U.S. Congress, a bill was pushed concerning the same disease X. You know, it's just too interesting how they talk about these things as if, oh, just in case. But their actions and the way they go about these things just raises the questions as to, I mean, do they know something we don't know? Yes, for that one, it's a big yes. They know something we don't know. But at least when they start talking about whatever we don't know, you should know that they know that it's time to bring whatever they are talking about as if they are innocent about it. That's the world we live in. So that's to do with it. But we as believers, we just have to, you know, ensure that we are covered under the blood. We keep praying, whatever they bring. I mean, it cannot be greater than the power of Jesus. The name of Jesus cannot be greater than the blood of Jesus. So we don't care what they bring. It's God who will take care of us and God who would keep us safe. All right, so we go to the next item, where the U.S.-owned ship has been struck by a missile near Yemen, according to the Defense Department. So the U.S. Central Command identified the vessel as MV Gibraltar Eagle, owned by Connecticut-based shipping company. And you know, there's serious tension in the Gulf of Aden, where the rebels, the Houthi rebels in Yemen, are targeting shipping lines that are related to Israel or to the U.S. And this thing is something that can be very complicated, because it's now causing the U.S. to be striking the bases in Yemen. So this whole Israel war is extending into areas that can really be something else. But then this week we had a number of strikes, you know, where we have Pakistan condemns deadly Iranian missile strike on its territory as an unprovoked violation. So Iranian government strikes part of Pakistan in the name of, there are some terrorists, so they just want to do it. Then Pakistan also conducts retaliatory military strikes against Pakistani terrorists operating in Iran. And then Jordan also strikes southern Syria and then kills 10 activists. So this volatile region, the Middle East, extending to Pakistan, this Iran and all that zone, is so volatile that it's something can just spark and then it can become something else. Because there was an attack too by Iran in Iraq near U.S. Base and then Iraq in U.S. consular office and all that. Some people were killed, but not the U.S. citizens. So it's something which makes this war very subject. It's open to something big that can happen. But well, we just hope it doesn't go that way. But well, we are in times where now, you know, that it's unpredictable. Anything can happen. And you sleep in the morning, you sleep in the evening, wake up in the morning, and this one has beaten this one is striking this, and then something, a whole new thing happening in the world. And then we have this one that says, attacks on Christians, forced conversions belie Pakistan's claim of religious freedom, according to a church leader. Continuing violence against religious minorities in Pakistan belies the government's January 8th statement that it promotes religious freedom and protects the members of non-Muslim faiths and the rights, according to activists. The U.S. State Department on January 4th designated Pakistan among countries such as Burma, China, and Iran as countries of particular concern for having engaged in or tolerated particularly severe violations of religious freedom. It called on the government to end communal violence, attacks on religious minorities, and lengthy prison terms for peaceful expression. In this same discussion, there were some activists or some opinion leaders are blaming the U.S. government or condemning the U.S. government for not adding India to this list, because India, the Hindus are really out last year. The attacks against Christians was the highest in modern times, and there seems to be no end regarding these attacks and persecutions against Christians. Then this next headline says, Christians face record level of violent attacks in 2023, according to Open Doors. And this is an NGO that tabulates or calculates and analyzes the persecution in the world against Christians. So the International Christian Persecution Watchdog Group, Open Doors, warned in its latest annual report about a dramatic increase in violence against Christians and places of worship worldwide, as nearly 5,000 Christians were killed for their faith. Open Doors, an organization that monitors persecution and supports the church in over 60 countries, released its World Watch List 2024 on Wednesday, documenting trends and ranking the 50 worst countries in the world and when it comes to Christian persecution. According to the data, at least 13 Christians were killed for their faith per day in 2023. Did you hear that? 13, at least, because it's not all the records that they get. 13 Christians were killed for their faith every day last year. Staggering number there. 13. On average, were 4,998 Christians killed in the World Watch List 2024 yearly reporting period that ended on September 30th, 2023. At least 14,766 churches and Christian properties were attacked worldwide during that time. Ooh, that's a lot. 14,766 churches and Christian properties were attacked worldwide during that time, with Open Doors reporting a sevenfold increase in attacks on churches and Christian-run schools, hospitals, and cemeteries. Attacks on churches and Christian properties skyrocketed in 2023 as more Christians than ever recorded faced violent attacks, the report states. And it goes on to say that Open Doors warns that more than 365 million, that is one in seven Christians, face high levels of persecution for their faith. And it's obvious, it's not going to decrease this year, it's going to increase, because the trend is moving upwards, and as the world is becoming more anti-God, and we are seeing this anti-Semitism on the rise since the Israel-Hamas war started, the signals are really obvious. You know, the hatred for God, anything God, Jesus, and all, it's just on the ascendance. It's as if demons have been unleashed into the world to just frustrate and hate the Christian, the name, the tag Christian, or anything associated with Christ, God, and all. It's becoming more of an attraction to hatred. Then another news, which is not too different from what I just read. And I want to state that Catholic priests arrested, abducted, killed, reached record high in 2023. So, you know, anything relating to the religion, Christianity, whichever way it is, whichever denomination and all, is attracting persecution. And this is what the statistics is also about. Then we have Christian man killed by militants in Sudan and church set on fire. And then, Pastor, three others, other Christians ambushed and taken captive in central Nigeria. As for Nigeria now, it's something else. Something else. It's really serious. And then the next one, Nicaragua jails pastors on trumped up charges of money laundering. And this news is just so bizarre because they were receiving monies from missionaries in the U.S. to do, mission work, projects and all, help NGOs, and the government has charged them for money laundering. And meanwhile, the money was duly paid through banks, officially documented, accountability was established, lines of how it was used and all. But these pastors just sentenced to 1 month in prison, and they don't have legal representation, nothing. You see, it's just about the fact that they are Christians and they are doing something for God. So the hatred is there. And even in the U.S., the news comes up, and the House Committee in the U.S. is, going deeper to investigate more about reports that show that federal agents urged banks to flag payments of, those payments that have Trump in it, or Trump or MAGA, Make America Great Again. But that one, the main one is the problem one, especially, is Bibles, purchase of Bibles. They should flag those payments as well. And it's like, in the U.S., come on. You see, this is the hatred. The hatred is just on the ascendancy. This week I saw one news, I didn't really capture it, but a child says Jesus Christ, 6-year-old, and he's being punished for it. Come on, in school, Jesus Christ. And see, this is how low America is going with their, anti-Semitism, anti-Christian, anti-God values and all. It's really unfortunate, but that's the world. And I keep saying the world is not going to get any better, and just have to know where we are, the times we are in. But for us here in Ghana, for instance, we are just too blessed, because all these things we talk about, it's not part of our, we don't really, it's something we hear about, we read about, we watch and all, hear and all, but we are not facing these things, these persecutions in our country. And the worrying question is, so why are we not doing what we should be doing, going into the world and preach the gospel and all that? It's something which we should have been doing, but we are not doing that much. And we largely, the church has really not done well. That one is something which we can't deny. It's something that's very unfortunate. So this evening, I'll be talking a bit about it. I'm starting it this evening. And for the next few weeks, I believe we'll be going deeper. But first, listen to this song and we will talk. This is Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM.
To touch, to
song is something else. If you really listen to the lyrics well, it should break your heart. This is by Steve Camp. Do you feel their pain, Steve Camp? 2 Corinthians 5:11 says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I mean, the A part is what I'm interested in. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. But let's focus on the A part. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You know, this morning the Holy Spirit asked me a question, which I'm also passing on to you to think about it. Is there someone in hell now who is cursing you and mentioning your name? Is someone mentioning your name in hell today, right now, as you are listening to me now? Is there anyone in hell you know or who knows you who is mentioning your name? That's why didn't you tell me about this place? Is there anyone in hell that way? I mean, for me, yes, I would say yes. I know someone in hell who by now will be mentioning my name. I know, because 8 years or so ago, there is this neighbor I had, and we'll talk about every other thing, but for whatever reason, we didn't talk about nothing about Christ, about religion, Christianity, faith, and all that. And then just one morning, suddenly, I just got to know he's been rushed to the hospital, and then he died, and all. But as soon as I heard it, I just knew it. That no, I mean, clearly, I just knew it because then later on, I had a dream in which the man was asking me why we never discussed about it. You know, so I know for that one, I'm blunt about it. I know, if not at all, at least for him, I know he's asking or mentioning my name. But what about you? Is there anyone in hell now mentioning your name, asking why you didn't tell me? Could be friend, could be relative, could be a neighbor, a classmate, a co-worker. You know, this is a very serious question. You know, last night through this morning, it's been a bit rough. The interaction I've had with the Holy Spirit, the questions, and it's been very tough and very difficult, because you see, it's a very serious issue that we are taking lightly as Christians. And let me just go through the lyrics of this song, perhaps to get you a better understanding of what it says. It says, have we failed again, talking about the love of God, but judging those who need it most? Oh, these afflicted ones, I feel their lives just fade away, left to face the end alone. So we say a prayer for their need, afraid to touch, to hurt, to bleed. Do we feel their pain? That's the chorus. Has it touched your life? Can you taste the salt in the tears they cry? Will you love them? Will you love them more than the hate that's been? Will you love them back to life again? We should feel the shame, allowing fear to close our minds. These are lives we can't ignore. Yes, lives we can't ignore. Oh, don't turn away. Will you see Jesus in each of them? These are souls he suffered for. There's hope for them. Open up your heart. There's grace for them. Or do you think they've gone too far? Do you feel their pain? Has it touched your life? Can you taste the salt in the tears they cry? Will you love them more than the hate that's been? Will you love them back to life again? Oh, empty eyes and lonely souls, starving for love and crying for hope. And Jesus said, bring them unto me. I will make them whole. I can set them free. Will you care for them or let them go alone? Will you lend a hand or will you cast the stone? Do you feel their pain? Has it touched your life? Can you taste the salt in the tears they cry? Will you love them more than the hate that's been? Will you love them back to life again? And this is a beautiful song by Steve Camp. And I mean, as I was listening, I've listened to it, I don't know, number of times last night through this morning and all. And some of the questions or some of the statements or the things the Holy Spirit kept pushing. One is the church now, we, you and I, behaving like going to see someone off at the airport, wave them off, bid them Godspeed, I mean, goodbye. That's how we are behaving. Seeing people off to hell, the gates of hell, bid them farewell, and then, well, I mean, you're on your own. Because we are, our behavior is this way. We are living with people we know that they are going to hell. We know. I mean, so we don't care. We are just, we don't have any, our hearts are so hardened now. We don't have any compassion for the lost again. So we are with them. We are eating with them. We are playing with them. We are doing everything with them. And then, so it's like our silence. It's like bidding them farewell to hell. And that is it. So we just wait, and then we see one day when we see the person has died, obituary is like, oh, you know, people see posters and like, oh, this person, oh, he was a good man, whatever, whatever. We say all the things. You know, there are people around us, we know that their lives, I mean, we know them, and we know that if tonight something happens, you know that this person, you know. I mean, so you see, the issue is far serious than we see it. Unfortunately, the church has slept. Whilst hell is burning, the church is sleeping, largely sleeping. It's very few churches that can say that they are innocent of this thing we are talking about. Very few. Largely, the church is failing, has failed, and is continuing to fail. Because if, let's say for instance, a new year has started, if there's a church, your program for the year, you don't have anything about soul winning, evangelism and missions and all that in it, throw the paper away and go back and wait on the Lord for a better plan for the year. Because you cannot tell me that at this point in time in the world, the Holy Spirit will lead you to run a program, the whole year program, and there's nothing about going out to win souls. It's just like we are just feeding, overfeeding and feeding ourselves, eating and eating and eating and eating, whilst there are people sitting outside, starving and crying for hope and crying for food. The food, in terms of, we can give them the food, but we say no. We'll keep eating and eating and eating and eating. And that's how the church is behaving. We are overfeeding ourselves with our countless and endless programming, program upon program, revival upon revival. Then we do and do and do and do and do. The year will end. Then the cycle begins again. Nothing about missions, nothing about evangelism. It's like those things are dead and gone. I mean, it's something which is very unfortunate. I was very, very happy when I saw this year's assemblies send the lights. I mean, it's a very good thing. Every branch should open two churches. I mean, this is how a church should behave. At this point in time in the world now, a church that is not thinking about souls and mission and evangelism, I mean, there's something wrong somewhere. Oh yes, something is definitely wrong somewhere. Because we are reaching a point, we've already reached, but it's becoming very obvious that evangelism should be the most important thing on any church's calendar now. We can't have any other thing to replace evangelism. I mean, so if it's not even a week, nothing about it throughout the whole year, oh, then there's something wrong. There is something definitely wrong. Because we cannot just keep feeding ourselves while souls are perishing, and we just don't care. We don't care. People are dying every day. We don't care. You know, I remember during my break in Accra, and I was having a chat with my sister. We were discussing, I think, Christmas Day or something. And, you know, I told her, okay, I've not been to Christmas service for many years. And my reason is simple. We are celebrating the coming of Christ coming to the world. Perfect. But for my question is simple. For how long are we going to celebrate and remember He coming whilst souls are still perishing? And I am of the view, for those who are my broadcast list, if you remember, I wrote my one of the devotions, I think at Christmas time, that Christmas day and that season is the perfect time for the church to go out rather and win souls. Not for us to gather again and remember that Jesus came to die, came to be born for us. I mean, you see, we are just thinking about self. Whilst that's the mandate of the church. It's, we are supposed to go and then save souls. But we've become so comfortable and then complacent, and everything is about ourselves. So we are happy, we are just rejoicing, we are happy, we are Christians. But then the issue is, whilst we are doing these things, people are still dying and going to hell. This whole discussion I'm having, you know, that started this week when there's this verse I was studying, and then the issue of, you know, Christians praying, we pray, make our demands, God bless us, and all that. But sometimes we should reflect and ask ourselves some critical questions. That what are we also doing for the Lord? It's very important. Let's read John 15, verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask, listen to this part, whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you, or give it to you. So now the question is, if he says we should go and bring forth fruit and the fruit should remain, are we doing that A part, that condition? Are we doing it? But we conveniently ignore, go and bring forth fruit and the fruit should remain. We ignore it, shut our minds to it completely. And then we go to the same Father and are asking the Father to give us whatever we need. So you see, what the Holy Spirit was prompting me is, one of the reasons why there are some things we've prayed for many years and it seems God is not hearing us, is because, you see, we think we need something and we've forgotten about his need. But we want our need, ignoring his need, and we expect him to do ours for us, but we are not ready to do his for him. Read this verse well, and you see that, you see, it's one of, you see, there are many verses in the Bible that talk about various things, and each one has an importance, and every word or every verse has an important message that we cannot ignore. This is one of the verses we don't often talk about because it is assigned to work, is linked to work in terms of go ye and evangelize, bring souls, and the fruit should remain, disciple them and let them grow and stay. So the fruit should remain. Now, whatsoever ye shall ask, whatsoever your prayer requests, now ask the Father in my name and he may give it to you. So just bring it to the normal secular life, family life. A child who is very disobedient, when he goes to the Father, that it's time for school fees, increase the fees, I need that. How many fathers would react positively or negatively? Because when you have a very stubborn, hard-hearted child who is just no interest, won't do anything, that won't, I mean, you just disregard the Father completely. But then when it's time for school fees, then you come to the Father, that it's time for school fees, I need fees, I need this, I need new shoe, I need this, I need this, I need it. That is exactly how we are behaving now. Seriously, I've never thought about it from that angle till the Holy Spirit started, I mean, downloading these things. And, you know, it's serious. For some people, until they pay attention to this verse, whatever they are praying for, it will never come. Oh, yes. For some people, this is the answer to their prayer. If they would heed to this verse and do it with the right heart, then now when they pray, God will hear them. You see, so we should really take God serious when he says something in the word. He says go. We say no, we'll not go. And then we'll not go. We are not ashamed about it. We still want to make our demands. A tall list of demands. So beginning of the year, we have our tall list. We are praying, we are fasting. Perfect, it's good. But then we should also pay attention to some other things. Because you cannot be praying and fasting and asking God to do this for you, protect you, guide you, deliver you, give you this and that and that and that and that and that this year, whilst you have not even bothered also pray that God help me to do your will, do what you need. I mean, I can dare say a lot of the prayers going on at the beginning of the year, many, many churches. How many have bothered to be praying about souls to be won this year? How many? Very few. Very few churches have thought of it. And these are pastors who are, you know, evangelistic minded. Very few. The larger portion of the prayers we are praying all around is all about me, self. Nothing about what God also wants us to do for him. And this is the game we are playing with him. So it's like, when it's about us, he should pay attention to us. When it's about his work, then that one, God, forget it. I mean, that one is an old school thing. We don't talk about, you know, evangelism again. We don't talk about missions again. Those things are long gone. We are in modern era. We don't talk about these things. This is the type of Christianity we are practicing now, where evangelism has been removed from the system. It's not part of us now. You see, so unconsciously, our hearts have become hardened to the lost souls around us. So we see them, we know that these people are not saved, but nothing moves us again, because we are just now hardened. We become numb. Nothing moves us again. They are going to hell, and so what? I mean, well, it's their choice. They have chosen to be bad boys, and it's a serious issue that we have to start reflecting about. And I believe this discussion is meant to kickstart something in you for this year, because I believe this year we should take the work of God far more seriously than we've ever done. The issue, you see, we shouldn't wait for our churches to be organizing before we become serious about it. It's time you take the initiative yourself. If you, your family, you, your wife, you, your children, it's about you. Do something on your own. And I'm trusting God that I will be printing several thousands of tracts so that it will be available for those who need. You can come pick it and then use it for your own evangelism program. As the year goes, we'll see how the Lord leads. There will be some organizing, some together, some programs together, mission, like going out in communities. Because, you see, we have to do something. We just cannot sit idle and pretend all is well. Because the truth is, all is not well. No, all is not well. All is not well because we keep failing. You know, like the song, have we failed again? And the issue is, yes, we keep failing year after year. And time is going, and people are dying, hell is piling up, and we don't care, and we keep failing, we keep failing, we keep failing, we keep failing. We start the year, we'll do, but we never do. You know, it's as if it's not a priority. So what's the big deal? But this year, let's shift our priorities and bring this to the topmost. For those listening to this program, the pastors, elders, deacons, church leaders, prioritize it. It should be talked about. It should be something we should pray about, interceding for the lost, praying for the lost. You see, we have to really start thinking about souls. We just cannot live selfish lives all through the year and expect God to bless us and bless us and bless us and bless us all the time. It's about us. Nothing about his command. Go ye. As for that one, we don't want to hear it at all. I mean, it's for the evangelists, the big, big missionaries, evangelists, the Bonky Ministries, and those are the they are the ones God has sent. So we there, we don't care. But the issue is the people around you are dying. So when would Bonky Ministries come to your community before those around you will be saved? Think about it. When would an evangelist somewhere come to your area, the Bible is in your area, to be saved? For your relatives who are not saved to be saved before they get saved. But then the issue is, the question I asked when I started, is someone in hell mentioning your name now for your failure to tell them about Christ and they slipped into hell? I mean, is someone? I mean, this question is something which is that deep. The more I think about it, the more serious I realize we have to be with this issue I'm talking about. Because souls are perishing every day. Every day souls are perishing. Every day souls are perishing. And for how long are we going to keep, well, what a shock, I mean, gone too soon, whatever, we'll see these posters. See? But the issue is, where are they going? That's the larger issue, the larger picture we should look at, is where did they go? When they died, where did they go? Where did they go? You know, so we, this point is very serious. The people we see around, you know, sometimes when the Holy Spirit says some things, when you start thinking about it, you realize that's the difference. He is God and we are human beings anyway. Because I've never really thought about it from that angle, that the people, the bad boys in our area that we think, well, they are bad boys, they have chosen their parents, they didn't, I mean, whatever, we don't care. Those same bad boys, as they get worse and worse, when they decide to be robbers, it's your house, they'll come and rob. When they become very violent and more corrupt, it is your children, they will come and rape. When I heard these things, I said, wow, this is a serious issue. But that's the truth. Because if we go out and we preach to these people and they get saved, a community is saved from all these vagabonds and criminals. But our silence means they should grow and they increase in numbers. But when they are to act, it is the same believers who were silent that they will come. It's like, wow, this is a very deep thing. I mean, you think about it. Imagine your area, wherever you stay. Let's assume there are 10 bad boys there. And by the grace of God, your prayers, your evangelism, your encouragement, little talking, invitation to church, you follow up, small. You've been able to save all these bad boys in a span of 2-3 years, whatever. Example, the 10 bad boys in the area are now going to church and are following Christ seriously. That area is now free from potential robbers, potential thieves, potential rapists, potential drug pushers and everything. Because the people who would have grown to become these things in the area and be a menace in the community are all Christians. So if we are to really see it from that angle, and I say, wow, this is serious. You see, so in as much as we are winning souls, we go out to win souls, it also solves a social problem, which we eventually also benefit from. I mean, the truth, I mean, I've not thought about it from that angle until the Holy Spirit brought this analysis. Like, that's interesting. You know, I heard a pastor once say that the bad girls you see that you think they are bad girls, one day they will be the roommates for your daughters at the university. And they are the ones who will corrupt your child to be a bad girl too. Hey, this is a serious statement. You see, so when we think it's about someone, it's not about us, we are making a mistake. Because this week I heard a pastor, we're doing a live program online, YouTube, and I just chanced upon it. And he was sharing an issue of a pastor whose daughter fell into prostitution or something. I mean, this type of lifestyle. But the, you know, the area where the pastor's house is, you know, the prostitute joints and all that, but the house is walled, his family is protected and all, but yet the child became affected. And then the Holy Spirit was telling this pastor to go and tell the pastor whose child has been, you know, is now into bad life and all that, that he was protecting his home, forgetting to also think and pray for the community. So the spirit in the community is what has affected the child. So in as much as he was protecting his home but ignored the community, the corruption in the community has eventually caught up with the daughter. So at the program, when they were praying for God's forgiveness to, and then praying for their communities, that whichever community you are in, it's your responsibility to also pray for the community, the salvation of the community. Because if we keep quiet and we look on, whichever spirit is dominating there eventually can affect us indirectly, your children and all. I mean, and you see, the devil is really working. Let's not ignore his abilities to, you know, increase and push his kingdom. He is working. That one, you see, this is one sometimes Christians, we are overcomers, we are this. But the people are dying and going to hell. What are we doing about it? We are quiet and we are watching and we are jumping. But the people are dying and going to hell. You see, it's time we really accept the fact that we have failed and let's get back to the drawing board. I mean, let's repent of our laziness, let's repent of our heartless behavior, our lack of compassion. Virtually, we just don't have any feeling again towards people. I mean, they are dying and going to hell, and so what? We don't care. But it's time we pay attention to these things, because it's something that God would demand us to answer for. Because when you read Ezekiel 33, God willingness, we can talk about that, but you can read yourself Ezekiel 33. You see, when you see this person is on the way to hell and you keep quiet, his blood will be on your hands. But you do what you have to do. If he still refuses, that one, you are free from his blood. But the question now is, for how many people can we say that we are innocent of their blood? Because at least we attempted, we made a move, but they stopped us. That's a different case. That one, God knows that you tried. But then now we virtually don't care, and that's where the issue is really serious. We just don't care. We've lost our compassion for the lost. So we see them, they are around us, we eat with them at work, we joke with them, we talk politics with them, we talk sports with them. But we know that they are on their way to hell. We know it. And we are walking with them on the way, just seeing them off. Then when they get to the destiny entrance, okay, safe journey. Then we there, we are turning back, because we there, we are children of God. We are not going to hell. So they are the ones who have chosen to go. So we'll just guide them and then escort them. Then we'll turn back. And this is quite a worrying analysis that you should be reflecting about, with the underlining question: is someone in hell mentioning your name now? Is there anyone in hell, for whatever years, whatever reason, who can or is mentioning your name, or can mention your name and say that this person was very wicked to me? He knew there was this place and was very silent, never brought it up in conversation, The question is, if God is to demand his blood from us, that's a serious issue. Because you see, if you see someone who in court is like the charges at the state versus this for manslaughter or for murder, if the state can demand and require the blood of someone from the hands of another citizen, how much more when God is making this requirement? The least we can do is to overwork, to undo whichever harm we've caused. So if whichever number of people are in hell because of us, our silence, then let's work hard to cover for the lost opportunities we had, to compensate for. Because you see, I mean, we just cannot pretend that God is happy with our attitude towards the lost. We cannot pretend God is happy. You see, the more I think about this, I realize we really have to reflect about these things far more seriously than we've ever had. Because if God is one day going to question us for the opportunities we had, and what good did we make out of it, what are we going to say? Reflect on what you've heard this evening and pray for God to forgive you for whatever, your attitude, your laziness, your lack of interest in the lost, your heartlessness. I mean, your heart has become too hard, you become numb to the lost. For God to have mercy on you, to forgive you, and to give you a new heart and a passion for the lost. Because we need it. We need a new revival in our lives to revive us onto good works again. Because we cannot keep, you know, going this way of only ourselves, this selfish, greedy type of Christianity where it's all about we. We cannot keep going on that way. We should start thinking about others as well. The lost. Because every day, right now, if you go to Konfanochi, the morgue is full. Every day people are dying. So we have to start thinking about the missions, the evangelism, extensively this year. So God willing, next week we'll be talking about it again. And you can listen to this program, it's recorded, I'll upload it, and then listen to it again and, you know, reflect about it. And I believe God himself will touch you, and you know how and what you have to do to, you know, make God happy again. I'm Eben. The program is Issues of Life, Spirit 88.3 FM. Good night, and God bless you.
Great content, rich, positive music from the